Where do you see your career in 10 years? What are you doing now to help you get there? The sooner you start enhancing your skills, the sooner you'll be ready. That's why AARP has reskilling courses in a variety of categories like marketing and management to help your income live as long as you do.
That's right. AARP has a bevy of free skill building courses for you to choose from because the steps that you choose to take today will help you to love what you do in the future. And that's why the younger you are, the more you need AARP. Learn more at aarp.org/skills. In recent weeks, we've really focused on some ways that listeners can boost their income. So whether that's through starting your own side business and growing your network like Hala talked about, or when we talked with local realtor Alan about diving into investing in real estate, well, what better way to test the waters? While you are away, your home could also earn extra income.
That's right. Your empty space could be an Airbnb while you're traveling, because that's all you need to become an Airbnb host. It's a lot easier than you think, and you don't need to Airbnb your entire house. You could just host your extra spare room. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Supercharge your work decks with AI-powered Canva presentations. All you do is start with a prompt. You describe your presentation in a few words, and Canva presentations will generate captivating slides that you can then customize in seconds.
Canva presentations are designed for every workplace and every department. Whether you work in sales, marketing, HR, ops, and more, Canva presentations can generate any deck you want for work. Sales decks, marketing presentations, onboarding plans, you name it. Any department can save time on any presentation with AI.
Generate slides in seconds with Canva presentations at canva.com. Designed for work.
Welcome to How to Money. I'm Joel.
And I am Matt.
And today we're talking rusty realtors, insurance issues, and equity expenditures.
That's right, man. These are the stories that we think you need to be paying attention to this week because they're the stories that are going to most directly impact your finances.
And we're going to force you to pay attention to them during this episode.
You need to pay attention to these things because these are the things that impact your bank account, your spending, how much it is that you're able to save and invest. And real quick, for some folks out there, this actually might be a repeat of information, anybody who actually follows us on Instagram, but we wanted to mention that we won an award. Joel, you have, I'm not used to this trophy, this award, this plaque that now sits here on a recording table.
We got actual hardware, and so this is the Fleck Media Award. It's for financial literacy and education in communities, given to the How to Money podcast from the good folks over at Money Management International, which is a service we talk about a lot, actually, a nonprofit that helps people in debt, credit card debt, and who need credit counseling. But yeah, they gave us this little thing, man. It's kind of, I don't know, it felt really sweet to get that.
It's earned its place here on a recording table.
The Soul Award.
Also, it sits there by itself.
Yeah. It's very lonely. So someone wants to give us like an Oscar or something like that in addition
that'd
to
be
it.
Nice.
That would fit okay. Well.
So this isn't like a real Friday Flight story, but did you see, this is a total departure from awards or anything like that, but did you see the promotion that Subway was running that if you legally change your name to Subway,
yes,
that you,
which brought me
that
back,
you have a chance of winning free Subway for the rest of your life,
which made me think about one of my favorite TV shows, Community, where Subway comes on campus and there's actually a dude named Subway, and it's hilarious.
But I don't remember that episode.
Well, it was like multiple episodes. They went
it was a character,
like a whole season. Yeah.
Oh, shut up.
A character named Subway. So, but yeah,
who played the character?
I don't remember.
It was
just a guy who was there for a few episodes.
Such a great show.
Such a great show. But
I don't remember that series though.
Apparently 10,000 people were down for getting paid 10 grand to legally change their name to Subway. I guess.
Do they get paid 10 grand or is Subway for life?
Oh, was it Subway for life? I thought they get paid too.
No, it's okay. Like free sandwiches.
Okay.
Like
maybe that's even more valuable. I don't know.
I mean, yeah, depending.
Depends on how old you are and how many subs you eat. But
19-year-old me would have totally done that because I loved Subway when I was a kid. Like specifically late high school, early college, you couldn't keep me away from Subway.
The question is, would 40-year-old Matt change his name legally for free subs?
I don't eat Subway as much as I did in my younger years specifically, but here's the thing. Though you might have to legally change your name, that doesn't mean that your friends have to call you Subway.
Right? Yeah.
Just because it says
says it on your
Subway alt mix
on your driver's license.
Passport doesn't mean that you have to refer to me as Subway.
That's true.
Right? So I feel like there's a way around it.
I feel like if it was a contest where you had to name yourself Brisket for a free barbecue, I would totally do that. But I just am not
Subway. You never know what's going to happen.
I'm not as fond of subs.
You never know what's going to happen with the brand. Right. Well, like just think back to. So oh, I was gosh. A big fan
Don't
of Subway. Subway back before the whole Jared, like that dude, right?
I watched like
he kind of ruined it for me.
I watched the beginning of that documentary, and it was devastating. I couldn't
keep
going. Yeah, devastating. Yeah. So
I don't know if I've ever shared this on the show before. Have I talked about how I used to jump behind the counter at Subway's?
You've never talked about this on the show, but you have mentioned it.
I'll share it really quickly. But I did this a couple times. But we would show up at a Subway. There's like a bunch of us. There's like say one person working, and they're just overwhelmed. All of a sudden, they've got a ton of footlongs that they got to make. And on more than one occasion, I was like, hey, do you want some help? I may have lied and said that I used to work at a Subway. But in both instances, they're like, oh, yeah, sure. And so I put the gloves on, jump back behind the bar and start making sandwiches for my friends. They're cracking up because they think it's hilarious. It's because I was such a fan of Subway. I knew how to make all the sandwiches. I knew what went on all the sandwiches. And I think in both instances, they let me walk out of there with a free sandwich.
There you go.
They're like, hey, don't worry about paying for yours. I appreciate the help.
Now you and Subway are going to be in legal troubles for that. But
that is, it feels like something from a bygone era. I feel like that would not be allowed today.
I think what this highlights is that both you and I are willing to go to kind of ridiculous lengths to save money sometimes.
Or for a laugh,
wrapping my car and how that people thought it was the goofiest thing.
You did that not when you were 18, but
right.
when you were 30.
Exactly. And people are like, what? Do you really, are you that hard up? And I'm like, no, I'm just willing to do like a lot of things to save or make a little bit of money, which I think is a good way to go through life. Like don't be too proud to do something silly to make a few bucks.
All things considered.
Yeah. Okay. But let's move on to the Friday flight, Matt.
To the real stories.
The real stories that we found interesting this week on the personal finance front. And let's talk about jobs for a second. The job market it's still great for basically almost everyone, right? Unemployment levels remain near all-time lows. There are apparently still 1.6 jobs for everyone who's hunting for one, which is good news for the economy and for workers across the country for wages and for the ability to go get a better job or a different job if that's what they're going for, mm-hmm. what they're interested in. And it's not blazing like it was a year ago, but workers still have a lot of leverage right
now. It's not two job openings for every applicant,
right.
for everybody that's looking for a job.
Yes. So it's died down a little bit, but still workers are in control right now in the job market. But there's one exception, and I found this interesting, Matt. It's a really bad time to be a realtor in particular. Stats show that there are something like 2.5 realtors for every house that's currently on the market.
It's like the complete opposite of when the job market was booming last year.
Right. It's like the ratio you normally want is probably the exact opposite, like multiple homes for every realtor. But this is just not great news if you're a realtor currently. And it's even worse, by the way, if you're trying to break into the business. If you're like, you know what, that's going to be my ticket to riches or my new job is going into real estate. Well, realtors are hard up right now and they have a tough time.
And programmers, software, well, just with the AI and how that's putting the kibosh on hiring, at least in that sector as
lenders
well.
Lenders too. Think about all the people that were doing home refinances and now they're not really doing it.
Not so much. Yeah, I saw that there are 600,000 more realtors than there are actual homes listed
the
moment, which is insane. But it's happening for a few reasons. One, there aren't many houses for sale. And, you know, with higher interest rates, folks are less likely they don't have a desire to move because they don't want to give up that sweet rate. We've talked about that. But secondly, a lot of realtors, they only dabble, right? They work part time. And some industries like this are more cyclical than others. It makes me think back to when I was a photographer. There were a lot of photographers that just dabbled because the barrier to entry to get yourself a digital camera and take some pictures, that's fairly easy. It's a lot harder to make that a full-time gig like we did. But there's a lot of folks that would pick up the camera and shoot some, say, during the fall when family sessions are booming because folks are wanting to get those pictures taken for their Christmas card.
Yeah.
the holidays coming up. But what this means for you as a consumer is that you need to be careful who it is that you choose to represent you within a real estate transaction if you actually are buying a home, because a bad or a rusty realtor, there you go, that could end up costing you money. A recent piece in Insider, it details how easy it is to become a realtor in many states. Again, the bar to entry is fairly low. It's like multiple choice question test that you take.
What's 2 + 2? All right, you can be a realtor.
It's not that easy to all of our realtor friends out there. But if you opt for an agent who isn't at the top of their game, you could be getting subpar advice, which is going to cost you serious money in the home buying process. The ideal choice is to find an agent who has been working in your neighborhood regularly for years. They know the ins and the outs. They know individuals, and they've obviously got rave reviews from friends and neighbors. Yeah. That's the kind of agent that you want to be looking for, not somebody that whose name you just happen to see on a single sign. You see a name on a bunch of signs, that's good. But if you just happen to choose a name because it sounds cool, that's not how you want to go about it.
That person goes to your church But if they don't do much business, then you probably want to go with a realtor who does more business. Not necessarily the person on the billboard. I wouldn't necessarily choose that person either. I think you want to choose someone kind of in the middle.
You want to avoid the extremes.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Well, and it just makes me think, Matt, someone buying a home in your neighborhood right now, it was an off-market listing. Like, it never actually made it to MLS. And so the people who know about that stuff are the realtors who do a lot of business. And they might have a lead on deals that other realtors might not know about. And so who you choose to represent you matters. And by the way, speaking of realtors, there have been a bunch of lawsuits through the years that have been filed against the National Association of Realtors for essentially being a monopoly, right? And those are still working their way through the court system. But if the plaintiffs win, there's likely to be a massive shift in the way agents get paid, which we think would be a good thing. There are some estimates that actually predict that consumers would save like $20 to $30 billion every single year if this stranglehold, the 3% fee sort of payment system,
times two,
get struck down. Yeah, yeah.
6%.
Exactly. And it's not that agents shouldn't get paid. Like, Matt, you and I, we use agents when we buy and sell homes, and we've had great experiences. We've got great agents that are, you know, they're worth a lot. It's just that almost nothing else in the world works on a flat percentage fee like that, right? And this system deserves a shakeup. So I would love, I don't know, I'm kind of waiting with bated breath to see what happens with some of these lawsuits, because it's going to be good for consumers if this model gets kind of torn asunder.
Yeah. One of the, like the NRA, right? So the National Association of Realtors, the argument that they're
making.
You
said NRA, you mean
NAR. I'm sorry, NAR.
Those are two very different organizations.
Yeah, very different groups of people. But their argument is that it's the best model because some of the folks are advocating for like a flat fee, right? Just like, okay, just say it's going to cost this much and this is how much that you get paid. The argument against that is that, well, there's a lot of folks who have less money, right? Like if you have a smaller home or a home that's not going to sell for very much, they're not necessarily in a position to pay an upfront fee. And so, I think the percentage framework, I think that can still work, but it's got to come down.
Yeah.
Like that's the biggest issue is that it's like you're paying 6% if you're selling your house. And that is so much money. It makes me think back to like financial advisors who have portfolios that they over, like the assets under management style or whatever. And like that's, even that you're looking at 1%. And with like ETFs and mutual funds, you've seen the expense ratios on those things come down over the years as technology has allowed individuals access directly to be able to invest. I'm actually kind of surprised that different platforms like Zillow, where folks are very comfortable going on there and searching themselves, that they haven't introduced some sort of marketplace that is able to eliminate so much of the middlemen when it comes to the ability to purchase a home, or in this case, selling a home without having to pay gigantic fees.
Yeah. I mean, Redfin is trying to do that. They've been trying to break that 3% fee model, take it down to like 1.5% and 1% in some cases. But it's just hard when there's the
more folks will,
MLS monopoly.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. Yeah, and again, I don't want to shortchange realtors because there's a lot of folks. This is the largest purchase that you ever make in your entire life. And so there are a lot of folks who are really nervous about that. I understand that. And so the ability to have somebody who has done many, many of these transactions to walk alongside you, to hold your hand, to provide that negotiating experience.
Totally.
There's so much value that they do bring. It's just that, is it worth 6%? And when you're talking about more expensive homes, that is a ton of money.
For sure. Well, the other upside to reducing realtor fees, I think it would help lubricate the real estate market. Like, if the price, the transaction costs go way down, people are going to be much more likely to sell their home, even if it means giving up a sweet interest rate.
And then does that all of a sudden cause prices to go up even more?
Who knows?
either way.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about something else on the homeowner front, homeowners insurance. And listener Anastasia, she sent us an interesting article last week about insurance, specifically in the state of Florida. But I think there's something that we can all take away from the article that she sent over. First, Florida and California are two of the biggest states in the nation, and these are the two that are both losing insurance companies, which is going to drive up costs in both of those states on insurance. And the reasons why are completely different, though, right? This might be the most simplistic explanation ever, but insurance companies are bowing out of doing business in Florida because of the increased risk they endure, largely because of hurricanes.
Yeah. And I don't think that's oversimplifying. Okay. Like, literally, it's, what is it, a peninsula? Like, sticks out there.
Sure.
Out in the ocean.
It's like a big finger out in the ocean.
Yeah.
Right, and in the eye of the ocean.
And hurricanes love to just cut that corner.
They do.
That's what happens.
It's true. And yeah. And so Florida homeowners, they already pay some of the highest home insurance prices in the nation, and they're likely to get even higher as companies reduce their presence, issue fewer policies, cancel some of the policies that they currently have with consumers, or maybe they just like leave completely. They skedaddle. They're out of there.
Yeah. Yeah. The insurance companies, they've been losing money for years in Florida. It's kind of been a like a lost leader in a sense for those businesses.
Except for it's not really leading to anything but more losses.
But California, it's another story. Insurers are leaving there because they're also dealing with large payouts, mainly due to the risk that wildfires pose. I saw that in the past 5 years, something like 39,000 homes have been destroyed due to fires.
Wow.
That is, so I had a hard time understanding, like, okay, is that a lot of homes or maybe that's not that many? There are 80,000 single-family homes in the city of Atlanta. So
wow.
It's almost as if
half
Sherman came
wow,
like
yeah.
marching through and just like burned up half of the city. But as many insurance companies are looking for reasons to cancel policies, they're even using drones to identify trouble spots on different properties to generate reasons for cancellation. That's a bit extreme. It's a bit ridiculous, of course, but it's true. Insurance companies are doing that. But a big problem is that the state, they are refusing to let these insurers increase premiums on homeowners, which will, of course, is going to decrease competition because these insurers are pulling out altogether. And it's going to lead to a more strained insurance market within the state of California. That's an perfect example of government policy completely backfiring, and instead of helping those that they're seeking to protect, like, it's literally causing them more harm.
The insurance companies are saying, no, look at the numbers. We are losing money. I think Allstate just had their credit rating downgraded, kind of like the United States just had their credit rating downgraded last week as a country, like Allstate just did. And so insurance companies are facing tough times. They're trying to increase premiums to make up for the losses they're experiencing.
But if you can't do that,
right,
what do you say? You say, all right, well, then we're going to pull providing coverage within the state.
Write more policies in Idaho, I guess, or something like that. I don't know. But
yeah, like the number of insurance companies in Florida that left, it's staggering. I couldn't believe it. Like, in the past 18 months, I think it's like 15 stopped writing new policies in Florida. Three of them just said, yeah, we're out of here altogether. And like a bunch of others just went bankrupt. They were insolvent.
So I guess first off, just, I don't know, emoji tear face for people in California and Florida.
It is difficult to own there.
It's tough.
Sure.
It's really, really tough. And there's no easy solution. But in general, right, even not in those two states, prices for insurance have gone up quite a bit, right? The cost of supplies and labor have risen a whole lot over the past few years. And that means that repair bills, right, when a claim gets filed, are more substantial. I think about, Matt, the tree growing through our house. We're finally just about, the dumpster gets taken away today.
Ooh,
like, yeah.
Very nice.
I know. Our neighbors.
You're going to be able to get your garage back.
I know.
That's honestly the biggest downside of having that dumpster there.
True. Our neighbors are going to be thankful too. Like, well, they'll like us more now that we don't have a dumpster.
Like, glad we don't have a rat problem anymore.
But to add to the pricing problem, right, home values have increased substantially too. It's been a perfect storm that's led to these increasing insurance rates. And coverage is getting more sparse, right? These insurers are saying, well, okay, well, if I have to write the policy, well, then I'm going to write less favorable terms for the consumer. The coverage is going to be smaller, and that's the only way you're going to be able to maybe not see a massive increase in your premiums. It's just not easy right now, right? And so it's, regardless of where you live, shop around. If you're looking to hit the easy button, just enter your information over at policygenius.com. Get some quotes from insurance companies they work with, or you can always reach out to an independent broker or agent over at trustedchoice.com as well. That can be easy, but don't take it lying down. It's not easy to fight back against these price increases. They're happening no matter what, but you still have a role. There's still something you can do to be able to save money while it's happening.
That's right. Well, we've got additional stories to get to, including, Joel, whether or not we will be able to continue watching our favorite Disney Plus content. We'll get to that story plus others right after this.
Good Cachava is the all-in-one superfood shake made up of high-quality plant-based nutrients. It's got greens, superfruits, plant proteins, antioxidants, adaptogens, probiotics, and in other words, everything your body craves to feel your best. This is where Cachava really earns their 52,000 plus five-star reviews. It tastes amazing. It's creamy and smooth with just water, and it comes in five delicious flavors. You can choose from chocolate, vanilla, chai, matcha, and coconut acai. Cachava is offering How to Money listeners 10% off for a limited time. I've been using Cachava in breakfast smoothies in the morning recently. It's just so nice to pack in a bunch of nutrients early in the AM in a way that's satisfying and energizing. So if you want to optimize your breakfast, your workout shake, be sure to check out Cachava. Just go to Cachava.com/howtomoney. That's spelled K-A-C-H-A-V-A, and get 10% off your first order. That's Cachava.com/howtomoney. I'm guessing that a lot of listeners are starting to solidify their summer travel plans. We always like to get the families together, Matt, for a week at the beach every single summer. We've already got that trip to St. Simons on the calendar. Pumped for that. But sometimes those vacations get expensive. So what better way to offset some of those costs than to have your home earning some money while you're away?
That's right. Why let it sit empty when it could be earning extra income? It's the financially smart thing to do. So think it through. Maybe you've got some extra space in your home, or maybe you have an entire house to host, or maybe you're just going on vacation and your home is sitting empty. In every case, you can Airbnb it. You already have the space, so it won't be a huge adjustment.
I mean, the way I see it, if you're not using your space, you have two options. You can let it just sit there empty, or you do some optimizing and make some money off it. Really, if you think about it, you already have an Airbnb. You just need to start using it. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. They are committed to high ethical standards and even had to pass a rigorous exam before they could become a CFP professional.
They offer financial planning and services that take a more comprehensive view of your financial and personal circumstances and are customized for your needs. Certified financial planner professionals can offer advice on a wide range of issues like reviewing your investment portfolio's allocation, handling an inheritance, rolling over a company retirement plan, building education savings, and so much more.
That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org. All right, Matt, the Friday flight continues, and it looks like you might not be able to watch Encanto anymore soon.
Talk about a spike in popularity and the ensuing
just
decrease.
Collapse. Yeah.
I mean, you can't talk about Bruno. That was everywhere for, 3 months?
I haven't heard it in a while now, but I know you, the fire kept lit, stayed lit for you the whole time. You love that movie.
We have enjoyed it. I will say, Westy, our youngest, he recently discovered it, like over the summer. There's more TV watching going on, let's be honest. And when they're not in school. And he was walking around singing, "We don't talk about Bruno," even though he didn't even say it right. He's only three, but
that's awesome. Yeah. All right, let's get to our ludicrous headline of the week before we get to that story. And this one comes from Investment News, and listener Gabe sent this one our way. And it reads, "Stop contributing to IRAs and 401ks. No wonder Gabe sent this one our way. This
doesn't sound like the kind of advice that we would give.
Sounds like financial malpractice. But we've had listeners, by the way, Matt, before, especially participating in the How to Money Facebook group, who are really, really into real estate investing. And they made similar claims. They were like, why would you
that was their argument.
Put money in that scam 401k or IRA when you could, triple what you're going to make by investing in real estate? And you and I, we're not against real estate investing. In fact, we'll talk to somebody next week who is like one of our favorite real estate investor influencers, creators out there. But why would a semi-respectable site that writes about investing really want the masses to stop contributing to their retirement accounts completely, right? It turns out, no, that's not what they're after. They were just going for a shocking headline, which that's the internet these
days. Surprise, surprise.
Right? But the main gist of this article, we actually agree with, right? They basically wanted folks to know that Roth accounts are better than traditional accounts for most folks. They don't want you to contribute nothing. They just want you to instead funnel that money into the Roth. All those contributions, send them into the Roth 401k and IRA instead of the traditional versions. You'll be much better off.
Yeah. The beauty of the Roth IRA. We'll link to that in our show notes. But it's a silly headline, but they're spot on. We have been all about Roths basically since day one for most people. Because, I mean, the downside, yes, you miss out on the tax break now. But given where tax rates are when we take a look back at history, they're actually fairly low. And given our country's current fiscal situation, and we talked about this last week, tax rates are very likely going to be going up come the end of 2025. And in addition to switching those contributions from traditional to Roth, it actually might even make sense for some people to come up with a Roth conversion strategy for the money that they currently have sitting within a traditional IRA or a traditional 401k account. You do need to be strategic about this because of the tax consequences. Like once you make that conversion, the taxes are going to be due because, of course, those accounts were funded with pre-tax dollars. And so by moving it to a post-tax account, well, you got to get taxed.
Don't hear us saying that Roths are so much better that you should go and convert $200K in IRA money right now to traditional IRA money to Roth money
Huge tax bill. If you
got
to
plan,
yeah,
it takes a lot of planning to get this right, and you might find that you don't have the money to pay the tax man when that happens.
Pay the piper. Yeah, it's typically something that you want to do gradually. And honestly, we should maybe work on a Roth conversion or a Roth conversion ladder article up on the site because it can get confusing. But this is how, if you are into early retirement, this is how you're able to tap those retirement dollars early by setting up a Roth conversion ladder. So basically, by moving it from one of those pre-tax accounts like a 401k or a traditional IRA and moving it over to a Roth IRA, you're able to tap those funds because they count as quote unquote contributions from those other accounts. As long as you've got to wait 5 years, but after those 5 years are up, you have access to that money, or that money can just sit there and continue to grow tax-free. You withdraw it tax-free, but also if you want to pull it early, it's penalty-free as well.
Right. I think the biggest takeaway, though, is for listeners who say, oh, I love getting the tax break. It's so fun, so nice, but that you're going to pay the tax at some point, and you might pay at a much higher rate in the future. And so taking the Roth in the hand right now is, for a whole lot of folks, not for everyone, but for a whole lot of folks, is the better choice. Even though it means paying more in tax today, it's going to mean a whole lot less tax in the future.
That's what we believe.
Yep. And it's also true in a lot of ways, too. Just, well, I don't know. It's complex. We'll leave it there for now. All right. But let's talk about streaming for a second, Matt. Disney Plus and Hulu are about to start charging people more money. Ad-free versions are going up in price in October by 27% and 20% respectively. So it's not just a tiny little bitty hike to keep up with inflation. It's like time to turn on the earnings spigot for Disney, right? And so that means that Disney Plus has doubled in price since it launched just a few years ago. Not only that, though, they're taking a page out of the Netflix playbook, and they plan to crack down on password sharing. So you and I, we currently share this Disney Plus login so you can watch Encanto with your son. But if the prices go up, and we can't share, I feel like Disney's on the chopping block for us, right?
It's a different proposition.
It's like a double price increase.
Well, in one of the reasons they're doing this, their plan previously was expanding to other additional markets. But that's really, really expensive, and it's some of those subscribers don't stick around either. And so they're trying to squeeze more money out of their existing customers, you and me, because they're counting on consumer inertia, like status quo bias kicks in and you think, well, I don't want to do this. We do not want you to be like those individuals who are just like, oh, well, it's already set up. I don't want to have to create a new password if I want to resubscribe, that whole thing. No. If you are not getting the value out of this thing, like you said, it should be on the chopping block.
Yeah, and I know there's a new half season of Bluey, and it's great. And but
has it already come out?
Yeah, I think it came out. Yeah,
I thought they both came out over the summer. Did one come out at the end of the summer?
I don't know. That's a good question. I know some came out.
The kids watched. I wish I had enough time to sit down kids and watch Bluey because it's the best kids show.
Yeah, it really
by
is.
By far.
It really is. But here's the thing. My kids might be crying into their blankets because they might be upset that there's no more Bluey. Loyalty is going to cost you, right? And like we always say, you can cancel and you can always subscribe again later. So if there's a specific show you want to watch, sign up and then cancel after you've watched it.
Be strategic.
Don't be loyal just because for the sake of loyalty. As all of these streaming services continue to just massively increase what they're charging, it's starting to feel on par with, if not exceeding, what cable bills used to be.
That's right, man. All right, let's talk about some credit card debt because we have officially hit the $1 trillion in credit card debt mark. This is actually, we kind of jumped the gun slightly on this like maybe a couple months ago and we were talking about this. It wasn't official from the Fed yet, but we knew we were there.
Yeah, we knew what was happening.
And of course, this headline number is not great, $1 trillion, but it's also maybe not as bad as you might think. Consumer debt, it is still below the U.S. norm, actually. Credit card debt, it's actually just 6% of the total deposits that households have in the bank, which is basically the lowest percentage in the past 20 years. It was actually double that 20 years ago. So I'm playing devil's advocate here. That was the arguments saying, hey, it's not that big of a deal. Here's the thing. The biggest spending areas that have led to this balloon in overall credit card spending and debt are dining, travel, and experiences. And last I checked, these are all optional categories. We're going into debt for wants, not needs. And there is nothing wrong with a credit card itself. It's a tool. We are huge fans of using credit cards for the different rewards and points that they provide, but it is how you use it. And if you can't pay off the balance on time and in full every single month, we want you to stop using it.
Yeah. If you keep bashing your finger with the hammer, stop using the hammer, right?
Yes.
Same thing with the credit card.
Yeah. And again, with interest rates continuing to rise all across the board on with everything, we're seeing credit card debt being even worse for you than the normal. And I wonder, because I've only ever had one credit card on my my Apple Pay mm-hmm. within my wallet. But I recently said, I need to have all the cards in there. That way I can, if I don't happen to have my wallet, I don't want to be stuck using the one unoptimized card. I want to be able to funnel my spending the right way. I wonder if that has any sort of impact on individuals' usage as well, when you can just double click it and, you know, tap the phone. But regardless, yeah, it is becoming more costly if you are a careless user of your credit card.
Yep, that's true. And late payments have gone up too, right? Which means those purchases are costing folks even more in interest and penalties than they were a couple of years ago. And this is good news for credit card companies, but it's not for us as individuals. The U.S. norm when it comes to handling debt is not that great. And so if you're shooting to be normal, to be like everyone else, you're going to be in a bad financial spot, right? The average person has about $6,000 in recurring credit card debt at an average interest rate of about 20%, which means they're paying $1,200 a year mm-hmm. just to be able to use that piece of plastic to make purchases.
Just for the privilege of earning those points that maybe you're not even actually fully taking advantage
right.
of.
So it's my contention, it's our contention, that normal sucks, right? The average person has very little saved, which sucks. And we talked about last week, the average length of a car loan. It's really long. And we talked about the average price of a car and what people are paying now. It's a lot of money. And that's normal, but it shouldn't be normal. So don't base your goals on what the average American is doing with their finances based on, don't take your cue from what normal people are doing.
What the average American does.
Yeah, because normal people are, you know, screwing over their futures for current consumption.
Yeah, the average American also throws away a third of all their groceries and watches 7 hours of TV a day or something like that. These are not things that we want you to do. We want you to be weird. But let's talk about a different kind of borrowing. Let's talk about taking money out of your home. As anyone who wants to buy a home knows, it's really expensive these days. Prices have gone up significantly over the past few years, especially. Interest rates as well. And this has created an affordability crunch. But if you bought a house between, let's say, 2009 to 2020-ish, or maybe 2021 after the run-up, you've definitely accumulated a chunk of home equity. And some analysts out there are predicting that the next place that consumers are going to be tempted to grab money so that they can continue to spend in a way that they've become accustomed to, right? Spending on dining, travel, and experiences is that they're going to end up tapping the equity in the form of a cash out refinance, or maybe a HELOC, or a home equity loan. These are all forms of borrowing that we're almost scared because there's a large amount of money sitting there, you know, in the piggy bank of your home.
Yeah.
And if folks turn to that with dollar signs in their eyes and they're thinking, oh, I want to continue this luxury living that I've been accustomed to, it could lead to some bad things.
For sure. Yeah, taking out that money can lead to a lot of financial heartache, a lot of financial difficulty. And the total mortgage debt right now in the country stands at something like $12.5 trillion, but there's almost $30 trillion in home equity. And so it starts to get tempting, right? Like you said, Matt, you see dollar signs. It starts to get like,
oh. It starts to swell a little bit. It's like bursting up the seams.
You're like, my savings account's low, but my HELOC is fat, so maybe I should grab some of that. And but a cash out refi is a bad idea for almost everyone with a low mortgage rate right now. You're giving up something great that you have locked in for a whole lot of years. You're giving up the equivalent of a luxury item for a jalopy, right? That's what's happening
in financial terms. Yeah,
yeah. If you trade in your 3% mortgage for a 7% just because you want access to that cash, that's a terrible idea. Right?
It's as if you won the prize of free Subway for life, right. And you're like, I'm just tired of my name being Subway. I don't want the free sandwiches anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
And changing your name to Brisket.
Don't give those sandwiches up unless that means free barbecue. In which case, it's a smart move.
Would you do it for just a chance of free barbecue though?
No.
You keep the bird in the hand.
Yeah. But most folks should avoid the temptation to use those funds to fuel their consumption, right? Homeowners are in a pretty solid position right now, but it's easy to undo that by treating your home like an ATM, by snagging those funds and doing dumb stuff with them. If you're like making home upgrades, that's one expense that can make real sense with some of those funds, but don't over leverage yourself while using that home equity line of credit. And one additional caveat, by the way, opening a HELOC can function like a backup emergency fund. We think that homeowners should, in all likelihood, most of the time, have a HELOC on hand. It's nice in the case of emergency, but it's like, but it's the same thing as like break glass in case of emergency. Yeah. You don't grab that hatchet or the fire extinguisher out unless there really is a fire. And so you don't want to concoct a fire in your mind to grab the funds. Only if it's a real emergency does it make sense to actually draw that down.
Yeah, that's right. And this way is just like a credit card. It's a tool. It comes down to how it is that you use it. But buddy, that's going to be it for our Friday flight. We hope everyone has a fantastic weekend, and we will see you back here on Monday. We've got a great listener questions episode lined up for you. You can find the different stories and any resources that we mentioned up in the show notes for this episode at howtomoney.com. Buddy, that's going to be it for this one. Until next time.
Best friends out.
Best friends out.
Upswell Marketing would like to remind you that when customers choose your small business, they're really choosing you. So focus on super serving your existing customers and let Upswell handle the pipeline generation of new leads and customers.
Upswell specializes in developing customized direct response campaigns and is now offering a no obligation free assessment of your current marketing strategies.
Not to mention, new customers also receive 15% off their first order when they mention that they heard about Upswell on this podcast. For more information, visit upswellmarketing.com. That's upswellmarketing.com.
Supercharge your work decks with AI-powered Canva presentations. All you do is start with a prompt. You describe your presentation in a few words, and Canva presentations will generate captivating slides that you can then customize in seconds.
Canva presentations are designed for every workplace and every department. Whether you work in sales, marketing, HR, ops, and more, Canva presentations can generate any deck you want for work. Sales decks, marketing presentations, onboarding plans, you name it. Any department can save time on any presentation with AI.
Generate slides in seconds with Canva presentations at canva.com, designed for work.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.